all two knights fight on horseback passing sore, so Sir Gawain and his brother rode betwixt them and asked them for what cause they fought so. The one knight answered and said, "We fight for a simple matter, for we two be two brethren born and begotten of one man and of one woman." "Alas," said Sir Gawain, "why do ye so?" "Sir," said the elder, "there came a white hart this way this day, and many hounds chased him, and a white bracket was alway next him, and we understood it was adventure made for the high feast of King Arthur, and therefore I would have gone after to have won me worship. And here my younger brother said he would go after the hart, for he was better knight than I. And for this cause we fell at debate, and so we thought to prove which of us both was better knight." "This is a simple cause," said Sir Gawain. "Uncouth men ye should debate withal, and no brother with brother. Therefore, but if ye will do by my counsel, I will have ado with you, that is, ye shall yield you unto me, and that ye go unto King Arthur and yield you unto his grace." "Sir knight," said the two brethren, "we are forfoughten, and much blood have we lost through our wilfulness, and therefore we would be loth to have ado with you." Page 100. "Then do as I will have you," said Sir Gawain. "We will agree to fulfill your will, but by whom shall we say that we be thither sent?" "Ye may say, by the knight that followeth the quest of the hart that was white." "Now what is your name?" said Gawain. "Sorlous of the Forest," said the elder. "And my name is," said the younger, "Brian of the Forest." And so they departed and went to the king's court, and Sir Gawain on his quest. And as Gawain followed the hart by the cry of the hounds, even afore him there was a great river, and the hart swam over. And as Sir Gawain would follow after, there stood a knight over the other side and said, "Sir knight, come not over after this hart, but if thou wilt joust with me." "I will not fail as for that," said Sir Gawain, "to follow the quest that I am in," and so made his horse to swim over the water. And anon they gat their spears and ran together full hard, but Sir Gawain smote him off his horse, and then he turned his horse and bade him yield him. "Nay," said the knight, "not so, though thou have the better of me on horseback. I pray thee, valiant knight, alight afoot and match we together with swords." "What is your name?" said Sir Gawain. "Alardin of the Isles," said the other. Then either dressed their shields and smote together, but Sir Gawain smote him so hard through the helm that it went to the brains, and the knight fell down dead. "Ah," said Gaheris, "that was a mighty stroke of a young knight." Page 101. Chapter 7. How the Hart was chased into a castle and there slain, and how Gawain slew a lady. Then Gawain and Gaheris rode more than a pace after the white hart, and let slip at the hart 3 couple of greyhounds, and so they chased the hart into a castle, and in the chief place of the castle they slew the hart. Sir Gawain and Gaheris followed after. Right so there came a knight out of a chamber with a sword drawn in his hand, and slew 2 of the greyhounds, even in the sight of Sir Gawain, and the remnant he chased them with his sword out of the castle. And when he came again, he said, "O my white hart, me repenteth that thou art dead, for my sovereign lady gave thee to me, and evil have I kept thee, and thy death shall be dear bought, and I live." And anon he went into his chamber and armed him, and came out fiercely, and there met he with Sir Gawain. "Why have ye slain my hounds?" said Sir Gawain, "for they did but their kind," asterisk, "and liver I had ye had roken," asterisk, "your anger upon me than upon a dumb beast." "Kind nature, roken, avenged," returned the text. "Thou sayest truth," said the knight, "I have avenged me on thy hounds, and so I will on thee, or thou go." Then Sir Gawain alit a foot and dressed his shield, and struck together mightily, and clave their shields, and stoned their helms, and brake their hauberks, that the blood ran down to their feet. At last Sir Gawain smote the knight so hard that he fell to the earth, and then he cried mercy, and yielded him, and besought him, as he was a knight and gentleman, to save his life. "Thou shalt die," said Sir Gawain, "for slaying of my hounds." "I will make amends," said the knight, unto my power." Sir Gawain would no mercy have, but unlaced his helm to have stricken off his head. Right so came his lady out of a chamber and fell over him, and so he smote off her head by misadventure. Page 102. "Alas," said Gaheris, "that is foul and shamefully done, that shame shall never from you. Also ye should give mercy unto them that ask mercy, for a knight without mercy is without worship. Sir Gawain was so stonied of the death of this fair lady that he wist not what he did, and said unto the knight, Arise, I will give thee mercy. Nay, nay, said the knight, I take no force of mercy now, for thou hast slain my love and my lady that I love best of all earthly thing. I take no force of, I do not care about, returned the text. Me sore repenteth it, said Sir Gawain, for I thought to strike unto thee. But now thou shalt go unto King Arthur and tell him of thine adventures, and how thou art overcome by the knight that went in the quest of the White Hart. I take no force, said the knight, whether I live or die. But so for dread of death he swore to go unto King Arthur, and he made him to bear one greyhound before him on his horse, and another behind him. What is your name, said Gawain, or we depart? My name is, said the knight, Ablamore of the Marsh. So he departed toward Camelot. Chapter 8. How four knights fought against Sir Gawain and Gaheris, and how they were overcome, and their lives saved at the request of four ladies. And Sir Gawain went into the castle, and made him ready to lie there all night, and would have unarmed him. What will ye do, said Gaheris, will ye unarm you in this country? Ye may think ye have many enemies here. They had not sooner said that word, but there came four knights well armed, and assailed Sir Gawain hard, and said unto him, Thou new-made knight, thou hast shamed thy knighthood, for a knight without mercy is dishonored. Page 103. Also thou hast slain a fair lady to thy great shame to the world's end, and doubt thou not thou shalt have great need of mercy, or thou depart from us. And therewith one of them smote Sir Gawain a great stroke, that nigh he fell to the earth, and Gaheris smote him again sore, and so they were on the one side and on the other, that Sir Gawain and Gaheris were in jeopardy of their lives. And one with a bow and archer smote Sir Gawain through the arm, that it grieved him wonderly sore. And as they should have been slain, there came four fair ladies, and besought the knights of grace for Sir Gawain, and goodly at request of the ladies they gave Sir Gawain and Gaheris their lives, and made them to yield them as prisoners. Then Gawain and Gaheris made great dole. Alas, said Sir Gawain, mine arm grieveth me sore, I am like to be maimed, and so made his complaint piteously. Early on the morrow there came to Sir Gawain one of the four ladies that had heard all his complaint, and said, Sir Knight, what cheer? Not good, said he. It is your own default, said the lady, for ye have done a passing foul deed in the slaying of the lady, the which will be great villainy unto you. But be ye not of King Arthur's kin, said the lady? Yes, truly, said Sir Gawain. What is your name, said the lady? Ye must tell it me, or ye pass. My name is Gawain, the King Lot of Orkney's son, and my mother is King Arthur's sister. Ah, then are ye nephew unto King Arthur, said the lady, and I shall so speak for you that ye shall have conduct to go to King Arthur for his love. And so she departed and told the four knights how their prisoner was King Arthur's nephew, and his name is Sir Gawain, King Lot's son of Orkney. And they gave him the hart's head because it was in his quest. Page 104. Then anon they delivered Sir Gawain under this promise, that he should bear the dead lady with him in this manner. The head of her was hanged about his neck, and the whole body of her lay before him on his horse's mane. Right so rode he forth unto Camelot. And anon as he was come, Merlin desired of King Arthur that Sir Gawain should be sworn to tell of all his adventures, and how he slew the lady, and how he would give no mercy unto the knight, wherethrough the lady was slain. Then the king and the queen were greatly displeased with Sir Gawain for the slaying of the lady. And there by ordinance, of the queen, there was set a quest, of ladies on Sir Gawain, and they judged him forever while he lived to be with all ladies and to fight for their quarrels, and that ever he should be courteous and never to refuse mercy to him that asketh mercy. Ordinance, command, quest, judgment, return to text. Thus was Gawain sworn upon the four evangelists that he should never be against lady nor gentlewoman, but if he fought for a lady and his adversary fought for another. And thus endeth the adventure of Sir Gawain that he did at the marriage of King Arthur. Amen. Chapter 9. How Sir Tor rode after the knight with the brachet, and of his adventure by the way. When Sir Tor was ready, he mounted upon his horseback and rode after the knight with the brachet. So as he rode, he met with a dwarf suddenly that smote his horse on the head with a staff, that he went backward his spear length. "Why dost thou so?" said Sir Tor. "For thou shalt not pass this way, but if thou joust with yonder knights of the pavilions." Then was Tor aware where two pavilions were, and great spears stood out, and two shields hung on trees by the pavilions. "I may not tarry," said Sir Tor, "for I am in a quest that I must needs follow." Page 105. "Thou shalt not pass," said the dwarf, and therewithal he blew his horn. Then there came one armed on horseback, and dressed his shield, and came fast toward Tor, and he dressed him against him, and so ran together that Tor bare him from his horse. And anon the knight yielded him to his mercy. "But, sir, I have a fellow in yonder pavilion that will have ado with you anon." "He shall be welcome," said Sir Tor. Then was he ware of another knight coming with great rondon, and each of them dressed to other, that marvel it was to see. But the knight smote Sir Tor for a great stroke in midst of the shield, that his spear all to shivered. And Sir Tor smote him through the shield below of the shield, that it went through the cost, asterisk, of the knight, but the stroke slew him not. Cost sighed, return to text. And therewith Sir Tor alit and smote him on the helm a great stroke, and therewith the knight yielded him and besought him of mercy. "I will well," said Sir Tor, "but thou and thy fellow must go unto King Arthur and yield you prisoners unto him." "By whom shall we say are we thither sent?" "Ye shall say, by the knight that went in the quest of the knight that went with the brachet." "Now what be your two names?" said Sir Tor. "My name is," said the one, "Sir Phelot of Langduk." "And my name is," said the other, "Sir Petipace of Winchelsea." "Now go ye forth," said Sir Tor, "and God speed you and me." Then came the dwarf and said unto Sir Tor, "I pray you give me a gift." "I will well," said Sir Tor, "ask." "I ask no more," said the dwarf, "but that ye will suffer me to do you service, for I will serve no more recreant knights." "Take an horse," said Sir Tor, "and ride on with me." "I wot ye ride after the knight with the white brachet, and I shall bring you there he is," said the dwarf. And so they rode throughout a forest, and at the last they were ware of two pavilions, even by a priory, with two shields, and the one shield was enude, ellipsis, with white, and the other shield was red, enude, colored. Page 106. Chapter 10. How Sir Tor found the brachet, asterisk, with a lady, and how a knight assailed him for the said brachet. Brachet, bitch hound, return to text. Therewith Sir Tor alit and took the dwarf his glaive, and so he came to the white pavilion and saw three damosels lie in it, on, note one, one pallet sleeping, and so he went to the other pavilion and found a lady lying sleeping therein, but there was the white brachet that bade at her fast, and therewith the lady yeed out of the pavilion and all her damosels. But anon as Sir Tor espied the white brachet, he took her by force and took her to the dwarf. "What will ye so," said the lady, "take my brachet from me?" "Yea," said Sir Tor, "this brachet have I sought from King Arthur's court hither." "Well," said the lady, "knight, ye shall not go far with her, but that ye shall be met and grieved." "I shall abide what adventure that cometh by the grace of God," and so mounted upon his horse and passed on his way toward Camelot, but it was so near night he might not pass but little further. "Know ye any lodging?" said Tor. "I know none," said the dwarf, "but here besides is the hermitage, and there ye must take lodging as ye find." And within a while they came to the hermitage and took lodging, and was there grass, oats, and bread for their horses. Soon it was sped, asterisk, and full hard was their supper, but there they rested them all night till on the morn, and heard a mass devoutly, and took their leave of the hermit, and Sir Tor prayed the hermit to pray for him. Sped, finished, return to text. Page 107. He said he would, and betook him to God, and so mounted upon horseback and rode towards Camelot a long while. With that they heard a knight call loud that came after them, and he said, "Knight, abide, and yield my brachet that thou took from my lady." Sir Tor returned again, and beheld him how he was a seemly knight, and well horsed, and well armed at all points. Then Sir Tor dressed his shield, and took his spear in his hands, and the other came fiercely upon him, and smote both horse and man to the earth. Anon they arose lightly and drew their swords as eagerly as lions, and put their shields afore them, and smote through the shields, that the cantels fell off both parties. Also they tamed their